about its abilities to build a cage from which it couldn't escape. Would Russ protect it, if it returned as Ray? No, he knew by now that Ray wasn't really a woman, and had tricked him. And could trick him again. After a cooling-off period, the changeling could show up as another woman and win his love again. It wouldn't even be acting. But it wouldn't be smart to hang around Samoa. The island would be thick with U.S. government agents in another day or two, once they figured out what they had almost caught. Even if they didn't figure it out, and thought the changeling was some sort of augmented human or spy machine, they'd still be all over the island trying to track it down. It hoped they were looking for a one-armed woman. It waited until almost 10 to walk into town. The sidewalk was crowded enough that it didn't stand out particularly, just another sunburnt tourist. It had earlier, as Ray, found a church charity store. It went straight there and bought a suitcase and a few changes of clothing. At a more touristy place, it bought a couple of bright shirts and a souvenir Lava Lava, an assortment of toiletries from a convenience store, and a couple of gift bottles of Robert Louis Stevenson liqueur. In a coffeehouse restroom, it disposed of some of the toothpaste and shaving gel so they wouldn't look just bought, and caught a cab to the airport. There were three uniformed policemen on duty, and one Samoan woman in a business suit, pretty obviously surveying the crowd. It occurred to the changeling that its choice of identity might have been disastrous if Scott Windsor Daniel, African-American hash hound, was known to the police. Best done quickly. The changeling went into a crowded men's room and waited for a stall. Once behind the door, it went through the uncomfortable business of changing its face and hands to match Daniel's. It also changed shirts, putting on a souvenir one that, under the circumstances, acted as protective coloration. The whole business took 15 minutes. If anyone noticed that a white man had gone in and a black man had come out, they didn't say anything. The first test was passport control. A native woman checked documents and retinal scan and collected departure tax, but the woman sitting behind her in the booth, right arm in a sling, was the one from the United States intelligence community, who had almost put a bullet into Ray the day before. Neither of them paid any special attention to Scott Windsor Daniel, so maybe they actually were looking for a woman, a small white one with a missing arm. They did do a fingerprint check, though, as well as the usual retinal scan. The spy woman put on a jeweler's loop and, glancing, clumsy with one hand, compared the thumbprint to one on a card. Security was likewise easy, which was encouraging. It hadn't occurred to them that they were looking for a shape changer. They sorted through Daniel's unremarkable luggage, wanded him, and sent the suitcase down a chute and him through an optical baffle into the multilingual murmur of the waiting room. It sat at the bar and nursed something they claimed was Chardonnay, leafing through the Samoa Observer. The disturbance at Aggie Gray's was the front page story, with an interesting twist. The movie people were not at liberty to say whether it was part of the thriller they were filming. Presumably someone had coached them. They were an American company, and the government could hassle them if they didn't cooperate. Though it could be that they came up with the evasiveness on their own, latching on to free publicity. Interviews with Aggie Gray people and the police were not much more informative. Some tourists agreed that the man who ran across the park and dived into the harbor appeared to be one-armed. Their consensus was movie. Hard to plan with so little information. The flight switched to Delta in Honolulu, and there was a 6-hour layover. It might be prudent to switch identity again there, in case they'd picked up the trail to Daniel. If they had, there would be a greeting party at LAX. If Mr. Daniel didn't show up there, they would no doubt smoke the real one out in Samoa. Or they might be waiting in Honolulu. What would it do? The airport wasn't too far from the sea, but harder to emergency exit from than the wing room at Aggie Gray's. They would presumably be expecting someone with unusual powers, depending on who they were. The spies might not have told the police everything. So one scenario was police looking for a drug dealer with Mr. Daniel's passport, which wouldn't be that hard to step around. It set that problem aside and returned to its usual mental occupation, analyzing 31,433 bits of information.